I'll try not to be too long, but it's been good to do all these things, what you've done, and I want to just say the worship today, I don't know if you felt it, but it was like, to me, it was a bit like taking off the runway a little bit, actually getting off, it was a bit of wind in the sails, I like that. And also, where it said, let your love surround me, just to want to say a quick thing on that, that if some of you are suffering, and I know some of you are, that's one of the great keys, is to let God's love is go deeper into his love, seek him into his love. Like a submarine, when it goes underwater, it's a lot quieter when it goes deep. When it's on the surface, it's very stormy. When a submarine, see, my brother works on submarines, just when it goes deep underwater, it's so quiet, and that's when you go deeper into God's love. I encourage you. His love wants to surround you. Okay, we're carrying on the series on Abraham, the friend of God. It was something I had on my heart. This is part three. Oh, I've got to look at the. I was told I must look at the TV. it's called Available to the Lord. And this is really what I'd like to speak about from that chapter. Some general comments before we get going. Hope you can stay awake. The first one is, in this passage, the Lord personally comes to confirm his promise to Abraham. Now, in verse 1, if you look at it, it says the Lord in capital letters. People say that means Yahweh. It means the Lord himself, the one who is always. It's the God who keeps his promises, the God who keeps his covenant, the God who you can count on and rely on. And he appears to Abraham personally. We don't know quite how, possibly in a human form, but he appears with two angels, it seems. So that's just a general comment. The posh people call this a theophany. Appearance of God in a form of a man, and some call it a Christophany, appearance of possibly even Christ pre-incarnate somehow on the earth. It's mysterious, but I think it's meant to be that way. But he comes to him personally. The next thing is, need my glasses, is it was impossible for Abraham and Sarah to have children. We know this. She was old, he was old. They probably weren't sleeping together anymore, because I think, you know, that seems to be implied. And also, she was, in the Hebrew, beyond the cycle, means beyond menstrual periods. She was totally impossible, so it requires a total miracle of God. We see a bit of a meal happening. Just to let you know, fellowship with God is often symbolised with eating together, and it was important in making and confirming covenants and promises. But just note there, milk and meat, that's not kosher. You know, he offered them milk and meat. Did you realise that? And a lot of Jews nowadays make a problem of it, but the angels didn't seem to have a problem eating milk and meat. Just throw that random comment out there. If you're considering becoming a Jew, just thought I'd say that. And I totally respect the Jews, by the way. Also, a quick bit of intro, and I'll try and be quick for time. We see a contrast between how Abraham receives the visitors in chapter 18. But when you get to chapter 19, you also get a man who's sitting down waiting. He's called Lot. But when they come to him, the two angels, the reception is rather different in a city called Sodom. And to me, it's a little picture of perhaps how those who love the Lord will receive him, and how the world rejects him. Sodom rejected these two angels, well, tried to mistreat them, actually. And the last quick point before getting right into the passage is some scholars have wondered if some details of the story contain hints of truth. Now, don't worry, I'm not being weird. Just hear me out. This is what some people wonder, and you don't have to agree to it. For example, the fact that three men appeared. Okay, it was the Lord and two angels, but some of the church fathers say this. They say, is it a hint at the Trinity? God is triune. You know, it might not be, but I'm just saying. Another person said about the tree. We talked about trees today. By the way, that's a picture of a prehistoric tree at Mamre. That's what it looks like today. It's apparently thousands and thousands of years old. It's dead. But some people say the fact that trees seem to be mentioned a few times, you know, they met under a tree, Abraham said come under the tree, they stood under a tree. I mean, some say, well, it's just obvious, isn't it? If you're in the desert, you go under a tree. It's baking hot. But some say, but maybe the tree is hinting at something. Now, I'm not saying it is, but you can decide. Some say everything was promised. Everything was promised about miracle birth at the foot of a tree. And I just want to say this. Everything God ever does with human beings that is of miraculous is through at the foot of the cross. It's through the cross that God works. Only through the cross can God do the impossible among people. Turn them from addicted people into free people. Turn them from sinners into saints. I'll leave that with you, okay? Right. Being a friend of God involves this. You don't have to be special, but you have to be available. And what I love about this passage, which we're going to look at in a moment, is how available Abraham was. He didn't see these three visitors and close his tent door. Go, what time of day is this? It's hot, go away. He was quite available. And I want to encourage you that God doesn't want you to be special. He wants you just to be available as you are able, given your health, given your situation. I want to tell you a very quick story. Then we will go to the passage. I once tried to pray. I sat in my bedroom, sat on the end of my bed. I tried to pray, and I got nowhere. Do you ever get that? You sort of head, wool gathering, we call it. And I was sitting there, and as I was sitting there, this song came to me, which we're going to sing at the end of this meeting, if you're still here at the end. If you haven't gone home, you've gone on too long. The song is, "Here I am, wholly available. As for me, I will serve the Lord." And as I sat on my bed, this song just kept coming to me. And I felt the Lord just saying, all I want is you to be available. Sometimes we try and pray, God just says, just give yourself to me. Just be with me. You know, it's okay to waste time with God. I know you might be looking at your watches now, but it's okay to waste time with God. If you go and pray and you don't get anywhere, don't worry about it. Spend an hour. Just waste an hour with God. It's okay. Because it's not wasted. Abraham was quite available. Right, let's look at what actually the passage is saying, I believe. The word available means willing as well. First of all, I want to say Abraham was available for obedience. And what I want to say about is, before all this happened, before the angels appeared, before the Lord appeared, he had obeyed God. Do you know what he had done? That knife might give you a clue. It's very painful. If you're a man, you'll now wince. He had been commanded to circumcise himself and his son, I think he was a young boy, and all his 318 men. And that was the kind of knife they would have used. Extremely painful circumcision. We won't go into any more detail. But the point is, he did it on the very same day. Now, God can appear absolutely through grace and sheer undeserved grace. But I know this. One key to going on with God, one key to seeing more, having more of the Lord speak to you, is obedience. If you obey him, often he will bless that. But obviously he can do it without you obeying as well. But it's an amazing fact. I think these three men appeared partly because he had obeyed the Lord. Next slide. Abraham was available for God's timetable. You know, let me just give you an example. God can show up unexpectedly. Do you know what time of day it was when these three visitors showed up? It was probably 2 o'clock in the afternoon when it's 120 degrees Fahrenheit, the hottest part of the day when you don't get any visitors. And Abraham was willing to say, oh, well, I'll give up my siesta. He wasn't actually sleeping. But the thing was, I used to live in Sicily, and in Sicily, you never went out at 2 o'clock in the afternoon. It was mad. I mean, mad dogs and Englishmen go out in the midday sun. But here, these visitors show up unexpectedly, and I think Abraham had an inkling, these must be special, this must be the Lord, because they suddenly appeared. He didn't see them 5 miles away. And I just want to say this, sometimes God may mess up your plans. Now I know Abraham probably wasn't doing very much, just sitting around. But are you willing and available for the Lord to mess up your plans? Have you ever had someone call in on your house unexpected? Have you ever had that? Let me just read that to you. It says, only good friends can call by without any warning. Abraham got a visit from his friend. Because he's his friend, he just turned up. And sometimes the Lord will do that with us. And are we ready? I've been making appointments to see many of you. I haven't got round to everyone yet. But I haven't just turned up at your door. Now, I know of a pastor who used to do that all the time. His name was Terry. He just used to turn up. So funny, he would go down the garden path and husband and wife would be having a row. And you would hear it, they'd ding dong, and they'd go, hello, pastor, praise the Lord. It's like, he knew what they'd been doing. You see, now, you wouldn't have probably have liked him. But he just turned up. But God sometimes can drop in, and if he's the Lord, then he'll be prepared. He might just show up. Perhaps when you're not hoping, you've got this thing planned, and he shows up. The friendship with God carries implications. Because you know who the Lord turned up with in this story? Two destroying angels. They come to destroy Sodom. You know, it wasn't like he turned up with two teddy bears. And God sometimes, and I don't want to be funny about this, if you want to be God's friend, be prepared for him to maybe destroy a few things in your life. He's had to do it with me. There were certain habits I had, certain strange desires that I had, and the Lord had to destroy them. That's part of becoming God's friend. He turns up with these two destroying angels, not a couple of teddy bears. Of course God loves you, but it's for your own good. Just thought I'd put that in there. You may have to let the Lord destroy some things in your life. And love is spelt time. All I want to say on that is that my children sometimes say to me, Daddy, will you spend some time with me to show that you love me? It's love is spelt T-I-M-E, time. And with God, Abraham, you know, God, we need to give God time. Now, I know we're under pressure. I know you're busy. But Abraham gave them time. He didn't just say, well, you've got 5 minutes. You can have a bit of water on your way. He gave time, and I want to encourage you to do that. Let's move on. Now, this is something I want to say about the way Abraham behaved. Chapter 18, verse 2, we see, and I must point this out to you, this guy, Abraham, right, he's 99, so he's a lot older than anyone here. He's a clansman, chief of a tribe. He's got 318 servants, and yet, here he is, with his face down in the sand, worshipping. He didn't click his fingers and make servants do something for these people, he did it himself. And what I want to say is, he was humble. He was humble. Abraham knew his place. He recognised who was now in the room. Now, we need to just learn, I think, how wonderful God is, and we need to become worshippers of the Lord. I mean, I know you worship him, but I just want to tell you a quick thing. Two quick stories. One is of a friend I used to work with in my old job. And she's a great woman of God, she's lovely, but she often used to say, Jesus, 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 oh, Jesus, do this, oh, Jesus, do that, Jesus, do the other. And I sort of said to her, I thought, you know, shouldn't you say Lord Jesus? You know, he's not just your buddy, he's your Lord. And Abraham, if you look at how he's behaving here, I mean, it's just something about worshipping the Lord. He recognised who was in the room. It reminds me of a story of a preacher who was quite boastful. There's a preacher in America in the 1890s. I mean, he was actually a real guy, but they made up a story about him because he used to boast a lot. He used to go around boasting about how the Lord had done so many things for him. And he talked about once when he was in a flood in America. He survived the flood and he said, God spared me from this flood in America in 1899. And he would tell it at every church he went to. And people got a bit tired. And every time it was testimony night, he would say, can I talk about how I survived the flood, please? And they were like, okay, go on then. So they made up a story about him after he died. The story was that when he got to heaven, Peter came to him and said, it's testimony night tonight. Anyone want to give a testimony? And the preacher goes, oh yeah, yeah, I want to talk about how I survived the flood in 1899. And Peter says to him, that's okay, but you have to realise there's somebody else in the room tonight. His name is Noah. So he's like, are you still alright to do that? And he's like, no, I recognise he's in the room, it's alright. Let's recognise. So really what I'm trying to get at is, are we ever like Abraham? Do we ever get down on our faces in private? I don't mean singing on a Sunday morning. Do you ever worship in private? Do we ever worship like an Abraham? You know? I'll just leave that with you. Because I've been challenged. I can pray, I can study, I can do. But do I ever really worship? God looking for that. Remember Abraham with his face in the dirt. Okay. Here's a good one. Available for service. Now I know everyone at Christ Church Ewell does serve pretty much really hard. So I just want to bring it out of the passage. In chapter 18, verses 3 to 8, we read the following. Actually, go down to verse 6. Abraham hurried into the tent to Sarah. He said, quick, get 3 seers of the finest flour and knead it and bake some bread. Then he ran to the herd and selected a choice, tender calf, and gave it to a servant who hurried to prepare it. Then he brought curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared. Now, I just want to say this. Abraham gave God the best, you know. In those days, if a visitor came, you might offer them meat, but you might offer them a lamb or a goat. You wouldn't offer them a calf. A calf can feed 12 people. And it was a tender calf. Also, if he had servants, he could have done this. Get them some bread. But get them some meat. But he himself ran, and he himself went to the herd. He also went to Sarah. He didn't go to a servant and say, can you just cook some bread? He went to Sarah because Sarah was the best cook. He wanted the highest of standards. He wanted to give the best. What I'm trying to say to you is, God wants our best. Sarah, he didn't want substandard cooking. And also, the amount of bread that he asked to be made, 3 seers, if you notice that, you might think it just means 3 loaves. Well, apparently, it means about 6 gallons of flour. Enough to feed, scholars think, 24 loaves of bread. So you've got choice flour, choice calf. You've got all these things that are way beyond, this is the very best. You know, you're bringing out curds and milk and yogurt. This is stuff that's expensive. And all I want to say is he did not say to the 3 visitors, oh, I've got some leftover chicken. There's some leftover from last night. It was the best. Let's move on. Abraham served personally. He did it himself. Immediately, he hurried. It talks about hurrying. And he was very eager. You have to remember, we have a 99-year-old man running around in the hottest part of the day. Now, I suppose what I'm trying to say is, look at his service, look at his heart. Sometimes we can become a bit switched off. We can become a bit lacking enthusiasm. We lose that freshness. Whereas Abraham seemed, even at that old age, he seemed to have that desire to serve the Lord, to give God his best and not just the leftovers. And Abraham ministered to God. Please will you notice, he stood under a tree like a waiter. He waited on them. He didn't sit down and get stuck in and have the nosh. He waited on them and he ministered to God. And I just think sometimes we can be those who come for selfish reasons. You know, like, I don't know if you've ever been to a Bible conference. You go to a Bible conference and you say, I want to come and get some ministry. I want to get Bible ministry. I want to receive ministry. Well, sometimes the Lord might break in and whisper to you, I could do with some ministry. Sometimes just being available to the Lord, just loving him, worshipping him like Abraham, serving him with your best, not in order for you to get something, just giving it. Abraham wasn't there because he wanted to get something out of them. He just wanted to be a servant. He wanted to minister to God. And I think the Lord also wants ministry. Right, let's move on. This is probably my favourite point, so hopefully you'll wake up now. Are we available for a larger concept of God? And the key verse, which we'll come to in a moment, is that verse, is anything too hard for the Lord? Now, I want you to contrast Sarah and Abraham's attitudes. Abraham believed. Sarah had started to become a bit cynical. She'd become unavailable through her unbelief and cynicism. You know? I mean, she looked at her own ability. She said, look, I'm 90. I've been waiting for donkey's years. This is never going to happen. God cannot pull this off. And when she laughed behind the tent door, it was a kind of a laugh. You know, you ever heard that laugh? It's kind of like, yeah, right. It's kind of like, yeah. Pull the other one, Lord. Whereas when Abraham laughed earlier on in chapter 17, it was more of a laugh of amazement. Whereas Sarah's laugh was a laugh of unbelief. But she, thankfully, didn't stay that way. Because if you read in Hebrews, chapter 11, verse 11, it just says this. Sarah eventually did believe that the Lord could do anything. In chapter 11, verse 11 of Hebrews, it says, by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. So Sarah eventually stopped being cynical and started to believe like Abraham. And God needed both of them to believe. So here's the big question for today. If you don't remember anything else, just remember this one, yeah? Is anything too hard for the Lord? That's in verse 14. Now, although there is nothing too hard for the Lord, sometimes the Lord can be hindered by unbelief. If we have a cynical attitude, like Sarah, if we have unbelief, like you might be thinking, I want the Lord to grow Christ Church Ewell. I want the Lord to really move at the Holiday Bible Club. But if you're cynical, you might go to the prayer meeting. No pressure. No pressure for the prayer meeting after. But, you know, if you're cynical, if you've got to go, you've got to go. But if you're cynical or have unbelief, it sometimes can hinder the Lord, even though nothing is too hard for the Lord. Because you remember, in Mark chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, it says of Jesus, he could do no miracle there. He was amazed at their lack of faith. God wants you to believe nothing's too hard for him. If he wants to do it. This is what Calvin said. I don't know if we've got any Calvinists here. But it says, Calvin wrote this. He said, unbelievers do indeed, as far as lies within them, restrict God's hand by their obstinacy. Because God uses means to accomplish his ends. Augustine said this. Augustine, he was another theologian. You see that picture of that jar? He said that unbelief can be like the lid on a jar. God is trying to pour things into the jar. He's trying to pour in his blessing. But if you don't believe and just go, nah. If you'd be a bit like Sarah in that story, it's like you put a lid on the jar and God can't pour things in. And God wants us sometimes to repent of our cynicism and our unbelief and have a bigger picture of what God might be able to do. God was very gracious to Sarah. He didn't rebuke her and tell her off. He just said, well, you did laugh. He was very gentle with her. And maybe the Lord wants us sometimes to be open, to enlarge our concept of God. Nothing is too hard for the Lord, because he is God. So let me just go through a few things quickly with you. There is no life he cannot change. Are you praying for somebody to be saved? Do you have a friend? I know... Ray, that's his name. Ray went to see a friend, and I'm sure you're praying for your friend to open his heart to the Lord. Well, can I just say, don't give up praying. I've mentioned here before a guy called George Muller, who was a missionary in Bristol. He prayed for 50 years for a friend of his. 50 years. And after 50 years, the guy became a Christian. This was after George Muller had died. So he didn't even see it. But there is no life that the Lord cannot change. There is no situation that he cannot transform. He might not do it how you want, but he can transform your situation. There is no difficulty he can't overcome. There is no temptation he can't help you overcome. I used to struggle with a particular temptation. I won't tell you what it is, because you'll all go, ooh. But I'm free of it, just to say. I'm free of it. I can say that before the Lord. But you know, do you know how I got free of this temptation? That used to, have you ever had a temptation that's like a dog around your trouser leg? Get off! And you go on with the Lord, and this thing comes back when you're not expecting it. The only way I got, I cried out to God. I cried out to God for deliverance, and he set me free. That power was broken. There is no sin he cannot forgive. Some people can't forgive themselves, but God forgave them a long time ago. Okay. I'm trying not to be too long today, as you probably noticed. But please would you remember this? You are coming to a king. This is what John Newton wrote. He used to be a slave trader. He wrote hymns as well. But John Newton wrote this. He said, "You are coming to a king. Large petitions with you bring. For his grace and power are such, no one can ever ask too much." I saw this book, Pray Big. Pray Big. You know, like when Elisha was taken from Elijah, and Elijah said, "You've asked a hard thing." Well, God sometimes wants you to ask a hard thing. He wants you to ask a big thing for God to do. And give God a chance. Sometimes we've got to give God a chance. And I just want to encourage you, as you seek to be more available to the Lord, sometimes give God a chance. Put him to the test. Say a big prayer. Cry out to him. You never know. I got a friend in Italy, and she had leukemia, polio, and meningitis. I'm not lying, she had three diseases, leukemia, polio, meningitis. And she went to a preaching sermon, she wasn't even a Christian, she went to a preaching sermon, and the preacher, out in Sicily, he banged his, I'm going to break this, aren't I? Banged his fist on the pulpit, and he said, "If you don't believe God, give him a chance. Give God a chance." So she walked up to him and said, "Okay, I'll give him a chance. I've got polio, meningitis and leukemia. I'm going to go home and throw all my medicines down the toilet. Probably going to die, aren't I? But I'm going to give your God a chance." Her name's Rosalia. You've met her. Karina's met her, so I'm not making this up. She was my landlady for many years. She went home, threw all the medicine down the toilet, and her mother went ballistic. She said to God, "If you heal me, I'll serve you all my life." God healed her. He did. She's still here today. She's out in Sicily at the moment. I spoke to her on the phone a few days ago. So, finish. I'm going to finish with this. What I just want to really say today is God wants us to be more available. Available in worship. Available to follow our own, his timetable, not our own timetable. Available to give God our best, not just the leftovers, not just the cold leftover chicken. And really, he wants us to be available in believing, like Abraham, not Sarah, that God can, nothing's too hard for God, that God is, we mustn't become like Sarah. So Abraham basically learned to offer himself up to God as wholly available, and so must we. And if you see that picture of that altar there with the fire on it, you will know in the story that Abraham often built altars, and he watched the smoke go up. But do you know what? It was a symbol of him offering himself to God. When he watched the smoke go up, he was saying, "I'm offering myself to you, Lord. I'm available. I'm yours. I give myself to you." That's all God wants. All God really wants is to say, "I give myself to you, Lord. I don't have to be special. I don't have to be good at prayer. I just give myself to you." And he watched the smoke go up, and he said, "I give myself to you, Lord." And my last point before we sing, you might wonder what that is. That's Buckingham Palace. Right? Bear with me. Why have I got a picture of Buckingham Palace? Well, I used to live there. No, not really. The reason I've got a picture of Buckingham Palace is because Buckingham Palace has many, many rooms. It's got many, many rooms. But you know, so have we in our life. We've got many rooms in our heart. And it's like the Lord wants access to all of them. But sometimes we don't let him into certain areas of our room. We'll let him in the lounge, we'll let the Lord in the metaphorical kitchen, we'll let him in the bedroom, but we won't let him in the cellar. There are areas where maybe we've closed ourselves off to the Lord. And to be available to God is basically saying, Lord, I give myself to you. That means I give you all the keys to all the rooms in my life. You can go in the cellar if you like. You can go down that cupboard. You can. And Buckingham Palace has many, 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 many rooms, and I think we're a bit like that. And the Lord wants access to all the areas of our life. That's probably all I want to say. But if you keep one room locked, and you say, I'm not going to be available to you there, Lord. Do you know what? If you lock the Lord out, you can create a stronghold where he can't get in until you allow him. Anyway, I've rushed it a bit for time. Sorry if I rushed it, but I hope you get the message. I just feel the Lord has really put on my heart. Just tell them, I want them to just be available to me. They don't have to be special, just be available. So we're going to sing a song called Here I Am, Wholly Available. It's a good oldie song. It's the one that came to me once when I was trying to pray, and the Lord just said, I just want you to be available. So let's stand and sing this song, and then we'll close.